Welcome back. We are at Costas, and we're doing our thing here called the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're in Dundalk. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have just a handful of these left, but by Friday I will have fresh Pac-Man scratch-offs at Fadley's. We'll be at Fadley's live from 2 until 5.
Fadley's is awesome.
Joe's here.
Sorry.
Let the host do the host thing, Joe. Send you back down to Key Brewing. John Allen is here from Charm City Devils, from Stone Horses, from Child's Play. We say Child's Play right now because of M3, right? That's the show we're promoting, correct?
Correct. And, well, Stone Horses, we have a single that's coming out in probably late May, early June, called Free. Actually, one version of it is up right now on Spotify and all the streaming platforms, but we just had it remixed by the dude that just did the new Slash record. Sounds phenomenal.
I don't have to go to Soundwaves at the mall to get it, what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think Soundwaves
talked
is there
about that. No, I think Harmony Hut's probably gone.
Harmony Hut. Wow.
Joe Gold is here. Joe's been a listener to the show and a beer drinker for a long time, and through beer festivals for a long time. Joe is now, Joe's son was dating my intern 2 years ago, so we sort of reconnected over beer. I did the brewery tour. I did 31 breweries in 31 days.
Yep.
Key Brewing was one of the breweries that I did on my 31 days 2 years ago. It's because it's a Dundalk brewery. It is, it's a beer truck or two away from here behind the Royal Farms. You've had like midget wrestling down there. You've had all sorts of things down there over the course of time.
We're a great venue. We're a beer oasis down a long road from Dundalk.
Well, I reached Mike McDonald to come over because he had come over a couple years ago and there were some Redbrick Station connections, and
yes,
I had said to him, Redbrick Station was the first place. Bill Blocker is one of the first guys along with Hugh Sisson who told me, you're an old Smokey the Bandit guy. That there's bootlegging, you know? Right? So it was like beer. You couldn't make beer. You couldn't grow weed. You couldn't make beer.
Because of Prohibition.
Prohibition, right? So the brewery thing and where you come into this, and I'll let you tell your story. You've been doing this beer thing not maybe as long as you, but I've been knowing about you all of this century for sure, right?
No, I've been doing it longer than you.
Really?
Yeah. My first paycheck in the brewing business was 1986 in London at Young's Brewing Company.
Oh, wow.
And I helped Hugh source his first equipment when he opened up Sisson's on Cross Street.
Was it that hard to get equipment to brew beer because nobody did it?
The original equipment was dairy equipment. They were using farm dairy equipment and welding shit together to make beer in tanks because Prohibition happened. Nobody could be, there was no manufacturer of craft brewing equipment when the craft brewing industry started.
Wow.
There wasn't a company.
No guitars, no drums, play music, right? Like literally, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't make those. We can't make those.
I mean, Sierra Nevada, everybody's heard of Sierra Nevada. Literally, the guy was a welder and he started his brewery by brewing dairy equipment together. And made Sierra Nevada pale ale.
Well, I would say the first time in my life that I saw like a brewing vat was, I was chasing girls down on Cross Street, right?
Yeah,
down there,
yeah.
I was down there at, what was the place on the corner that had all the holographs? Turner's.
Turner's, on the corner. Yeah.
And then Hugh had his place up there and he had I still say this to this day, the best wings I've ever had in my life. They were these lemon pepper baked wings.
Yeah.
That were crispy, that were just the best. They were like, and they went perfect with like a hoppy beer or a lemony, like a Blue Moony kind of thing.
He had rich beers, he made.
So I went in there, and the whole place is as big as like our homes over in Eastwood and Colgate.
It's
they were like
row homes.
And there was this giant gold, like, it looked like a giant teapot.
Yeah, it looked like a giant
copper teapot.
Yeah.
In there, and I'm like, where do I sit? Just sit over here. We're making beer over here. And they would give me the beer, and I tell Hugh this. It was flat. It didn't taste good. You know, it didn't taste like Budweiser. It didn't taste like Natty Bow. You know,
wasn't supposed to.
Well, that's what he tried to explain to me, right at the time. By the way, you're wearing a Natty Bow hat. You want to like?
Love it.
You want to come clean on that? What's that about?
All my like mom's brothers work at National Brewery at some time or another. They grew up on South Montfort Street, and. Near the park.
Upper Hollandtown.
Harrison Park.
Yeah.
Hollandtown.
Upper Hollandtown.
Yeah, Upper Hollandtown. Upper Felsh Point, whatever you say. But yeah, so I have a bunch of Natty Bow paraphernalia that, been, I guess, lifted from the factory or whatever.
Well, good, because they always want free advertising from me, and they hit me 2 weeks ago. Do I want to have the Natty Bow? I'm like, Well, now no, I'm going to have Key Brewing on.
They're getting it, right? But yeah, so I had this patch was laying
around. I let people do free stuff, just not 30 years in a row. That's all I'm asking, you know? That's all I'm asking, you know?
Yeah, so I had this patch sitting around for, I don't know, most of my life, and I finally found a hat and I could put it on. In fact, I had a Baltimore Clippers patch.
Orange?
Yeah, orange, still black. Had it? I can't find it, man. I wish I did.
I wore something for you today because I have to stand up to show it to you. But hold on a second here.
This is
my original Led Zeppelin. This is the original Led Zeppelin. This is the first belt buckle I ever had, KB. Nice. KB. Oh, so, you know, I mean, I've been collecting them lately, and I'm working on a Child's Play, you know, make it old schooler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Work on the logos. But the beer part of Dundalk and for you, because I reached to you, and I reached to Mike, actually, and he said, Joe runs a joint now. I'm like, I think I know everybody in this city.
Yeah, you know,
like literally.
Now, how long has Key Brewery been open?
Key's been incorporated for 8 years, 8.5 years, and started brewing in 2015. So that was it. And, I've only been with the brewery for 10 months, but I was prior to that with Heavy Seas for 10 years.
Okay.
So that's where Hugh and I reconnected there.
Well, I mean, I began the Crab Cake Tour when I did the 30 breweries with Hugh, and I ended it with Hugh because I really feel like that's sort of the genesis, the history of all of this and that teapot I saw there.
Right.
Give me the Key story for people that don't know, like, how it all happened 10 years ago, because Mike told me pieces of it, and it did have to do with Bill Blocker, where that was the other guy. I would go out to, I lived in White Marsh.
Now, is it over by, behind where the old hangar factory used to be? Is that...
It's right next to Sparrows Point Country Club.
Okay.
Right off the Wise Ave.
Yeah.
So if you make the right at Pop's Tavern and you go behind the Royal Farms, if you just go behind the Royal Farms, you're there.
There used to be a hangar factory there.
Oh, hangar? What kind of
hangar? They used to make like wire hangers.
Yeah. Could be.
We're both from Dundalk, so we've got three generations of like things that used to be there. And I already referenced Memories and Gales.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Family establishments.
Yeah, I heard of that place.
I never went there. So Key, it started as a place to brew beer, and then it's become a hang, really, the last
thing. Yeah. So basically, the idea percolated. So Mike McDonald, who you mentioned, he was the brewer at Red Brick. There's the top.
Okay,
and he wanted his own place. And he went around town and talked to a couple people if he could get a partner, get some investors and that sort of thing. And it took a while, and it percolated. And then they got an auction of equipment from Duclaw, who was selling one of their original breweries. And they went to auction and got the auction. They were like, oh, shit, we got a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a building.
Okay.
They got nothing. So
the dream wasn't originally Dundalk. Dundalk is where it happened.
No. Okay. The dream was actually, you guys know, at the end of Charles Street, there's an old canning factory, the Pabst building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was their dream was to put it in that castle-looking building and have a beer garden.
That's a great building.
But the neighborhood wouldn't allow manufacturing.
Hmm.
So the neighborhood association said, you're crazy. So they found...
Hey, making beer here.
Right? Why wouldn't you? It'd be a perfect place to make beer.
Well, this is an amazing thing for, like your daughters are going to grow up in a world where, like, they're going to laugh at this the way we laughed at, like, you bootlegging Coors past, the Texas border or whatever. Like, there's a thing about beer with breweries now, and me having done this 2 summers ago, and I... Joe helped me do my beer tour 2 years ago. Literally,
the list of people to see.
Literally, you helped me a lot.
And nobody knows what Rolodex is. I got a database. I'm
pretty good. I went to these beautiful breweries from every part of the state, out in Cumberland, north of the city, out on farms with big silos, out on the eastern shore shooting horseshoes, like literally by Ocean City in Berlin. I went to Burley. There's a Dundalk connection with Burley Oak too. One of our high school comrades from 85, her husband is involved in Burley Oak. Every picture she puts up.
That's great.
Yeah, Tammy. So, connections.
So the key thing
to
was they had a brewery. They had no space. They had nowhere where we could move it. And this building in Dundalk was owned by somebody they knew, and it was vacant. So they literally stored the equipment there as they searched for a place to put roots down.
Right.
And it was taking too long, and all of a sudden they were like, well, why don't we just put the shit together here and see what happens? So Dundalk became the home of Key Brewing. It was called Key Brewing because more or less Francis got Key.
Right.
But the Key Highway is where Mike and Spike, the first guy, lived in Federal Hill. Okay. And so, the tie came from moving over to Dundalk.
Key Highway, you move the key over here in front of the Key Bridge, right? And all of a sudden, you got Key Brewing.
Yeah. And we are a destination spot, and we have live bands every Saturday. And we, you know, like I said, it's a beer oasis down a long road next to Stratus Point Country Club. But it became a venue, and then COVID. So the success of Key in the early days was, one, it was new, two, the industry was growing, and then COVID slammed the door shut on just about everything. Right. So this brewery kind of limped through the COVID era, came out the other side, and it's a different world, and the location is where it is, and you got to then build a new clientele post-COVID.
Can I ask you, I mean, this is the thing I thought about for all the businesses. And by the way, I invited Westmore today, invited Johnny O. It was sort of last minute. They've been, you know, they do the show a lot. I just wanted to, like, a little bit of having you fellas here was sort of like I was waiting through the weekend thinking, you know, and the governor owes me one. He wants to come do it. But this peninsula and what's happened with that bridge, we were talking about this an hour, and we got misty about it. Like, it's unthinkable for anybody from Dundalk. But it's got to be unthinkable from business perspective. Now, so on opening day, Jennifer, beautiful Jennifer, who works here, who's, if you've ever been here, she's brought you crabs, trust me. I thought she was from North Point Village. I think she is. And I've known her for years here, working here. And I saw her and her son opening day. We took a picture. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, you know, like, how are things at Costa? The first thing I thought about was, like, this now becomes trapped, right? Like, anybody that came, and she's one of the people. She said, I live across the bridge. And I'm for anybody, a trade point for any of your employees. Yeah. But I'm thinking the percentage of your beer that you make, when you make it, how much of it went over the bridge right away that it won't be going that way anymore?
I mean, we have two or three distributors would use the Key Bridge to get this. And we have six in the whole state. But three of
so half went, of your beer yeah, went,
yeah, went over
bridge.
The bridge. Yeah, for sure. I went over that bridge 2-3 times a week just to get down. If I'm going down to the south side of Baltimore, I'm going to the bridge.
Well, you're at the foot of the bridge.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Easy. Quick.
See where we're from.
It was 20
minutes. He's from Eastwood. I'm from Colgate. Okay. And, you know, our ages allow us to remember Key Bridge being constructed.
Yeah.
Harbor Tunnel being the only way to get anywhere.
That was it.
And everybody, most of my childhood, when I went anywhere, and my parents were humble people. The documentary's coming out, you can check it out. But we didn't go many places. But whenever I met people from the 70s through early 90s, when you would mention Baltimore and they weren't from here, they would mention traffic. Mm-hmm. Because Baltimore was the place you always got bottlenecked. If you were going from New York to Florida, vacation, Disney World.
A horrible tunnel.
You're going down to Virginia Beach, down to Myrtle Beach.
Remember the poor cops that sat in the booths?
Oh yeah!
Every 50 feet, you're like, I remember seeing them going, man, that can't be healthy.
Trapped smog inside there.
Yeah, they're probably smoking in there too, man. Yeah. Those little booths. Oh,
so heaters in there, absolutely. So I mean, all of these years, we've had these new traffic patterns that, you know, we've become accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And when you wake up in a Key Bridge, where were you that morning? Like you come across you work here every day.
I got woken up. I got a crazy story for you guys. So our head brewer, his sister is married to somebody in Paris, France.
Yeah.
Okay. He got woken up by a text saying, "Are you okay?"
Because it was 9 in the morning there, and they knew about it, right?
Right. But he got woken up at like 6 in the morning because they reported it at like 10 o'clock, whatever. And it was a.m. in Paris, and it was just early days here, early morning. So that was the first way Key Brewing found out about the Key Bridge going down, was somebody in Paris texted our head brewer.
That's crazy.
And then he calls me and says, have you heard? And this is 6 in the morning. I'm like, heard what? I'm like, my first thought was it's a meme or it's an April Fool's joke or That was the first thought I had. But then you get up and you turn the news on. You're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're all kind of coming out of now is that it's inconceivable.
Yeah.
And he looked at it for the first time an hour ago when he drove over.
Oh wow.
I haven't seen it yet. It's gonna hit
it's
me
emotional.
When I'm driving home tonight at that Highland part over the Walmart where you could look and see. Yeah. Like the places where I could always see it, because it's right over there. I know right where it belongs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know where it belongs. Yeah. It's been in my... Yeah. I mean, and the first day I said it's like 9/11 and, you know, Bill Cole cut me off. And I'm like, no. I'm going to look to the sky and it's going to be gone. Correct. That's the part for the New York people 25 years ago that just freaks you out, you know?
The bigger thing, it is an iconic image, for sure. But the bigger thing to me, think about in New York if the George Washington Bridge was taken down. Mm-hmm. How does New Yorker get to Connecticut?
Right.
The Woodrow Wilson Bridge in Northern Virginia. I mean, how does a Virginia person get to Maryland other than go through the city of D.C.? Right. I mean, the Beltway is a circle.
For a reason.
And now...
It's
we're
a
missing
heart.
A piece.
It's a heart. Yeah.
Yeah, we're missing a piece.
Yeah, my wife sent me. You got the picture here. Yeah, the map gone. Like,
yeah.
The first time you see it on Google Maps, it
was stunning. I mean, it's like, oh shit. I know it's gone, but like now the world took it out.
How does it affect your business? Because like I think of Costas and newer businesses. Tiki Lee's a newer business. My friends at Drug City. Anybody, Sparrows Point. If you're a Sparrows Point Country Club member and you live in Pasadena or whatever. The whole for my friend Jen who works here and have a changed traffic patterns, but I'm just thinking about like you had a fundraiser last week.
We did,
and
we
saw I couldn't come. I wanted to come, and all my friends were on it. Which one of the reasons I was putting this thing together today?
Sure.
I'm like,
said, hey,
I want to talk about the bridge and what it means to businesses because you know your name's King. I mean, it came right up in it, right?
Well, the first thing is just the fundraiser we had. We immediately thought, okay, who needs help and how can we help? And we were sitting there brainstorming, and the phone rang, and it was a band promoter. Mm-hmm. And I said, we have a venue, we have the infrastructure, and you have a band. We met the next day, that was Wednesday, and then they put it all together. We had 9 bands there on Friday night.
That's awesome.
And, you know, Johnny O came over, a whole bunch of other folks stopped by.
The weather held up too, right?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. It really was nice. The community came together and stuff like that.
Well, Johnny lives down here too, which is,
But, you know, not to get off topic, but, you know, how does it affect us? I mean, the first thing I thought of, okay, Anne Arundel County feels cut off from Dundalk and vice versa, right? That's your immediate thought. Like, so it's going to be interesting. This community is going to survive and take care of itself because the bridge is only 47 years old. This community has been here a very, very long time. So we'll get our own that are here. But human nature will make people make choices from other parts of town whether they're coming this way or not. Like, if you live in Pasadena, you got to go to the airport, you don't think of the Key Bridge. You live in Dundalk, Edgemere, and you think you got to go to the airport.
I don't think Pete's going to be on today, so I'll tell Pete's story because I came here literally to grieve. I landed Tuesday night, the day the bridge went down. I landed that night. Wednesday, we came over here.
Nice.
And I didn't look at the bridge, you know, again. It was cloudy that night, as I remember. Right. I wanted to look, I couldn't see. And we sat at the bar, and I said to Pete, you know, other than employees and this and that, he said, every crab we get out of season comes from the airport.
Yes.
And it would come across. You said, so like right off the bat,
every
single day until a bridge, it's like forever.
Yeah.
And that hit me the first night, not just employees. And it's our job. We'll make, but it's not 6 months.
Right.
It's not a year. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's going to be 5 years getting this done.
I mean, from a Key Brewing standpoint, we're lucky in our supply chain. So none of our ingredients come through the port. So everything's road. So there's alternative routes. But like I said earlier today, 3 distributors that we sell beer to use the bridge to get to us. Now they have to rethink their routes. So, but we're lucky in that it doesn't impact us we don't have a supply chain problem.
Right.
Foot traffic wise, you know, we didn't think, okay, how's it going to impact our tap room? Initially, the first thing you do is go, oh my gosh, we lost some humans.
Yeah.
You know, we lost an icon. You know, we've had only 2 weekends since, and our foot traffic is up.
People are aware that you need help. And that's why I'm down here today.
Exactly.
I'm like,
I
said to Wes Morris, I said, the peninsula is going to need help because you've cut people off that would be customers.
Right.
I don't know what that percentage is.
Right.
But, I mean, Pete even said to me, you're a tourist. You fly in.
Yep.
You're doing business. You're one night at the hotel airport, and you want crabs. He said, I would get that customer often, right? Because of the reputation here. Now, maybe they go other places, they can go get crabs. But like, this would be the place they wanted to come.
Correct.
They have to really want to come here and do it differently.
And they got to do it differently.
And
the other option by the airport is Seaside is a wonderful little crab house down in Glen Burnie. So that if you're a Google searcher and you're looking and you're at the airport, closest crab house, Google is not going to take you to Costa's anymore.
Right.
It's going to take you to somewhere closer where it would be 20 minutes to this one and 22 minutes to that one.
It's now 42. Right.
Yeah. Or more. I mean, my commute comes across the top side of the Beltway. I live in Timon. I come on the top side. And there's a sign, the lighted signs over the highway. It says, you know, 895-95, 9 miles, 10 minutes, you know, 8 miles, 7 minutes, whatever it is. Now it says 9 miles, 38 minutes. And then as soon as I get under 95 coming out to Dundalk, the traffic is about normal until you get to North Point Boulevard, and then it's gone. There's nothing in front of me.
Well, the road down here, and I explained this to my wife, and I've explained it on the air. Look, man, I'm Dundalk, you're Dundalk. We've used the bridge. To someone from Pikesville or Mount Washington mm-hmm. or Westminster or Woodlawn, I dated a girl, and I said this, I dated a girl from Pikesville for almost a decade. She had never been through the tunnel.
Because
why would she? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just not – if you want to go to New York, you take the top side. You want to go to D.C., yeah. you get out of Catonsville and take – like, you just would not have a reason to do it. The bridge was even more sequestered to – trucks and, yeah. and non-hazmats, right? Yeah, I mean, it was just the way you had to do it. My uncle had a pop-up camper in Dundalk. We always, if we were going anywhere, we had to take the bridge, right? You couldn't take the tunnel, right?
Right.
So, because of the propane in the back. And I thought about the road here, and my wife's, you know, not new to Baltimore. She's been here 21 years. But, like, whenever we get on this piece of road down here, after you get to the Walmart, I guess they drag race down here because, like, it's a straight road and there's yeah. nobody on it.
Right.
And I said to my wife, like, once the bridge went down, I'm like, I now really understand the width of the roads. First off, it's an interstate. It's 695. It's a beltway. It needs to be wider. It's sort of a beltway to nowhere. Cove right. Road, this yeah, whole area yeah. down here, there's not much on it. It's almost like a parkway
yeah.
in a way that it's just trees, right, yeah. on this mm-hmm. peninsula down here. And I said, they built these roads. They were all scored and built in the 50s and 60s into the 70s for
yep.
the bridge.
Yep.
There were 100,000 people working at the point.
Yeah,
so it was literally a freeway to get 100,000 people to and from work.
In and out, yeah.
I've had Aaron Tamarchio, and you've been on with Aaron over at Drug City. He's one of the spokespeople for Trade Point Atlantic, who I've gotten to know. Mm-hmm. He lost his dog this week. My love to you, Aaron. It's been a tough week down here for everybody at Trade Point. But like the whole idea of that thing being an eyesore, a blight, you know, all sorts of toxins and issues. They were trying to put an energy plant down here with, you know, a nuclear reactor, the whole deal. And they finally get it cleaned up. We finally get a business down here. Johnny O and Kevin Kamenitz and Jim Smith, all the people that worked. The road's already built.
Yeah,
the infrastructure was built 50 yeah. years ago. We yeah. got space. We got housing. We've got location. We got waterfront. We got waterfront prop. We got a country club and a brewery.
Yeah.
You know, we got two Rufos. Yeah. So we got all this stuff down here that's ready
yeah.
for all of these employees, Amazon, you know, on right. and on and on, right?
Yeah.
And now we blow the bridge up, and yeah. all of a sudden, oh, we're going to 5 years where if you want to work at Trade Point, you're really going to want to have to live on this side of town,
sure.
which isn't bad for Dundalk. Maybe that's the unintended consequences that I'm trying to figure out, right. what the unintended consequences are and how right. – this becomes better for Key Brewing and for Costas mm-hmm. and for all the businesses over here
right.
because people know they need some help the next 5 years. They need more
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. I mean, the first week it happened, I mean, it happened on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday we planned the Friday event. So that first week was a blur. But the next week, this past week, every day of the week, I went to a different restaurant or takeout or whatever during the week to just check on it, just to see, you know, hey, are you doing good? What's foot traffic like? You know, the Sail Inn, we buried down there in Edgemere, you know, and I've came up here for lunch a couple of times and just to check on the local community to see, hey, are you guys doing okay? Sparrows Point Restaurant right here, just to check on people. And they're like, thanks, man. Thanks for coming in. We don't know what the new normal is going to look like yet. But people like you coming in are going to help at least ease yeah. the pain.
That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
Joe Gold's here. John Allen's here. John's got to run out. I know you got to get out of here, but M3, your band, Stone Horses, give everybody like what's going on about downloading new stuff.
Okay, so Stone Horses, we have a song out called Free, but actually we're doing a remix of it. The guy who mixed Slash's new blues record just got done with it. Sounds phenomenal. And that's going to come out in late May, early June. That'll go to radio and it'll be on all the streaming services. Like I said, a different version of it's up there right now. It still sounds great, but we're going to put that out through Ingrooves/Virgin Records.
That was your tour, dude. You did like a whole tour back a couple months ago, right?
It was great. Yeah, we toured with this band called Brother Kane, who had like a couple really big radio hits in the 90s. Wound up opening for Aerosmith and like all these huge bands, and just great guys. Actually, the lead singer guitar player Damon Johnson plays with Lynyrd Skynyrd now. He took he took Gary Rossman's place while Gary was ill, and now that Gary has passed, he's part of the fold there.
I went and saw Skynyrd last year. I went and saw him down at Meriwether. It's good times.
Yeah. So great dudes. He's from Alabama and. We just had a blast.
You played that great room in Nashville, didn't you?
We played
Exit Inn. Yeah. I've been in that room. That's a nice room down there.
I played there with SR71 years ago.
It's a good rock and roll room.
Yeah, it is. It's great. All right. A lot of history.
You can find John on my Facebook page. You can find him Stone Horses. You can certainly find him on May the 4th on Saturday, open at M3.
1 o'clock, Charles Park.
I want to rock! Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. No, that's. Oh, Twisted Sister.
That's Dee Snider.
Twisted Sister.
You wanted to talk to me about songwriting before I go. You wanna?
Well, I'm worried about your thing.
It's all right. I got 4 minutes. Maybe I can blast it.
How much does Dundalk, when you think about smokestack, blue collar, where we're from, every one of your neighbors worked at the pointer, they worked at a steel mill, like all of that, that songwriting part of that is so rock and roll. When I think of Saxon, when I think of these British rock and roll, it's such a rock and roll. Dundalk's a rock and roll town. I mean, literally, because of that, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, like you mentioned, Saxon or maybe Judas Priest and Black Sabbath, they're from Birmingham, which was a big, industrial
Birmingham.
City. And I thought of the same thing. When we started Child's Play, that was definitely in the forefront of my mind when I was writing lyrics. And there's a song called My Bottle, which I look back at now as kind of misogynistic in a way, now that I'm a father of two daughters. But but there are a couple lines that that have an interesting, a more kind of working man's perspective in the breakdown, where you're talking about the American dream and how it fell apart at the seams or whatever. And so that even if a song is kind of like, bordering on some other thing, there are still some lines in that I managed to get in there that...
The hard work part sits at the core. People make fun of us. That's fine. Our accents, whatever. Yeah. But like, even my documentary, the parts that John's reading, like the part that my father got up and went to the point every day at 4:30 in the morning and worked like that is the reason that this still holds together for me.
Western Electric, my dad, 11 to 7 sometimes.
There you go.
Just horrible shifts. Gigantic. I did a tour of that.
And loyalty. Record. Colgate and Eastwood still all these years. Great. I mean, there's a loyalty, hardworking, respect
Curtis
for that.
Bay.
You know?
Nice. The Curtis Bay area, Brooklyn, Curtis Bay.
Wow.
So my grandfather was a lead burner down at DuPont. Wow.
What did you think of Dundalk people all your life, now that you're one of them? We used to be the two most famous guys from Dundalk.
I love it. No, I'm...
So, is it kind of like Alabama people making fun of Mississippi people?
I think
from Pasadena. What are you making fun of, Dundalk?
I actually had a funny quote the other day that the bridge actually made us find out how similar we were rather than how different we were.
Right.
Because
it's blue collar on the Curtis Bay Brooklyn side for sure.
Oh yeah.
And mills and petroleum and stuff like that down there, and Coast Guard yard and stuff. And then to see Dundalk, I'm like, dude, this is where I came from, but it's a different side of the water.
You want to tell somebody a funny show? We do a show and just bring, like, sit people in front and have to guess whether they're from Pasadena or Dundalk. What's my line?
Yeah, it's the same. So my mother's family, some of her family was from Federal Hill.
Yeah, well, it's South Baltimore.
South Baltimore. So,
which is Federal Hill now.
So if you look at Baltimore like this, right?
Yep.
Wherever your parents and grandparents grew up in that neighborhood, they just, the subsequent generations just moved, radiated out. So people from Dundalk, usually
Highlandtown.
Highlandtown.
Sure. Yeah. And now they're in Bel Air.
So the Fed Hill people, the South Baltimore people, as you so accurately said, they wound up down in Pasadena or you know, further down Ritchie Highway.
Glen Burnie.
My grandparents moved from in the city, South Baltimore, to Brooklyn, thinking it was a move up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been in the 40s or 50s.
My mother would have died to have moved to Perry Hall in 1975.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just to have a single house without a yard.
Yeah.
And, you know, now my son is taking the house that they bought in 1953.
Oh.
And he's not here today because he's hanging drywall or something. You know what I mean? That's what he does. So he's giving you beer. I want to hold this up. This is my favorite name of a beer ever. Because we are Baltimore positive. This is positive mental attitude.
Absolutely.
Positive mental attitude.
I need some of that.
Wait, is this a, what kind of?
Pilsner.
I love Pilsner.
It's a great one. All right. It really is.
Can I have this one?
You can have it. Oh, these were all
there's
for
more.
Me.
We brought beer for you.
These, you guys, yeah.
I invited John. I didn't even really invite John over. I called John yesterday to get Dee Snider on a show, and I'm like, hey, I need a guest tomorrow, and you're from Dundalk. You want to come?
You were using me?
And I said,
were you using me?
To get the Dee Snider. That's what I was. I used it last month to get a documentarian for my thing. Yeah, you're in for the governor today. So and you're in for the county executive.
There you go.
You touched Johnny last week, so that's fine.
I don't know if I can do it.
I guess bartended
the
key.
Yeah.
Last Friday. Johnny O was behind the bar for like 40 minutes.
That's awesome.
Serving positive mental
attitude. Was.
Fine. We need
I saw Westmore on Meet the Press, not Meet the Press, or one of those.
Face the Nation.
Face the Nation.
Just, yeah.
He was great, man. He was great. I can't stand in for Westmore. He was awesome. That was gone.
I got locked out of the press conference at Oriole Park.
Yeah.
I don't think it was his fault. But he's gonna find out about it.
I like it.
I think he already knows about it. Positive mental attitude, we're trying to keep that. We're Costas, John Allen, Stone Horses, Charmed City Devils, Child's Play.
SR71.
Eastwood Drop-In Center when I was a kid.
Oh, man.
Is that good?
Friday, yeah, drop-in.
That's where I met you. I met you at Eastwood Drop-In Center.
And then Friday Night Fun Center.
He was like the Fonz. He had like a leather jacket and cool glasses,
is.
You know?
Yeah, he's got it going on.
He was always the coolest guy, John, you know. M3 is on the 4th of May. He'll have a positive, he'll hold your positive mental attitude. I got to get you out of here. He's got an appointment. Joe's going to stay. We're going to talk some beer. Todd Crandall has sent me a text. He said, on the way, which means I'm going to make him wait. We're going to talk some more beer. Yeah. Back for more here at Costa. Stay with us. It's brought to you by the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and our friends at the Maryland Bond.
Oh, sorry. I got to run, man. Now, does this have great...